Thanks, Steve. You all know Rich Lankoff, a frequent contributor to the show. He's our legal counsel here on the Bill and Wendy Show. He has his own podcast.
We need it.
Well, boy, do we need it. He's on our speed dial. He's a podcaster. He has a show called Legal Face Off on WGN Plus. He's an attorney over at Bryce Downey and Lakoff. And like I said, he joins us right now to talk about a documentary he has produced called 85, The Greatest Team in Football History. How are you, Rich? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Bill. Happy New Year, Wendy. Glad to be on.
Go on, Wendy.
No, I was just going to say, now the Bears we laugh at right now, and we're not very happy with them. But back in 1985, really, the greatest team of all time.
In our opinion, no question. We've had a lot of feedback, a lot of pushback from some people on our very bold title of the greatest, not just NFL team, but greatest football team of all time. But yeah, I think, given the state of the Bears now, which is which is tough, and given the fact that they had one loss, and we all know the defense, the offense, so yeah, we feel very strongly that our claim of the greatest team of all time is well-founded, well-supported.
So when people will argue this point, Rich, they will say that the Miami Dolphins had a year where they were undefeated. The Patriots had a couple of unbelievable years. The Steelers did. The Cowboys had a couple of years that were just amazing. Why do you think this Bears team will be the one that history looks at as the best of all time?
Super Bowl shuffle.
Well, is that why? Is it the Super Bowl shuffle?
Yeah, the best video of all time. That says it all. My answer, there's a lot of answers, but one of my answers is simple. I mean, name four players from any of those teams, right?
Yeah.
I mean, unless you're a diehard Dolphins fan, unless you're a diehard Patriots fan,
Larry Zonka, Mercury Morris, Jim Kick, Bob Greasy.
Look at you. Keep going, Wendy. I bet you could do more.
That might be all.
Paul Warfield, Nick Bonaconte, Gary Uprimian. Yeah, all right. Go on, Rich.
Dated him.
Yeah, as I said, name 10 players from that team. I think that not only on the field, I think unquestionably on the field, this team holds up. They had one loss. Dolphins were undefeated. So there's certainly that dynamic. There's certainly that argument. The Patriots team, had the one loss as well in the Super Bowl. But I think more than that, and what our film, I think, really encompasses, more than some past looks at this team, is the impact they had culturally, the impact they had politically, the impact they had not just on the field but off the field, on the city, on
a bunch of personalities, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, personalities. Why I said, it's hard to name any players from those other teams is because, these guys are still relevant today. I mean, how many teams in any sport in history can you name, like, 20 players from, are still around, are still beloved, not just in Chicago, but across, across the world. So I think the impact of that team, is reflected by people like Barack Obama, who we interviewed, Bill Murray, lots of others, is the impact they had, not just between the lines, but across a broad spectrum of areas.
Rich, despite the success, you can't even argue the success of that team, the 85 Bears, there was quite a bit of animosity.
No question, and that also makes the story, that much more relevant and interesting and impactful, which we cover. And again, I think, a lot of people look at the film as, hey, we've heard the story. Believe me, you haven't heard all of the stories. You think you've heard all of the things that went on between the offense and defense and between the coaches, but you haven't heard half of it. Our film really goes into stuff you haven't heard. The offense defense conflict has been well documented, and it was real. I mean, they genuinely didn't like each other, and part of that was the fact that there was not a lot of competition with other teams, so the competition really existed, in the locker room and in practice, and we cover a lot of that. Because they were so dominant, they really had to, go at it against each other to be fulfilled from a competitive level.
Is that common knowledge that there was so much animosity between players? I know coaches and owners and such.
You got to watch the film to find that out.
Ah, look at you. What a pro.
Tease.
Yeah,
what
a pro. Listen, at the end of the day, the players, I think they're all brothers, right? And more than ever, after 30, 35 years, they still have incredibly strong relationships. But as our film discusses, there was a lot of hostility. There was a lot of conflict. you know, the offense didn't get a lot of attention. You know, even though they had great stats, they had amazing players. A lot of the animosity resulted from all of the coverage that the defense got. So, yeah, I mean, there was some real conflict there. And again, a lot of it was just the fact that these guys weren't being fulfilled on the field, and in practice is where they really went at it.
Rich, you tell me, because I've grown up believing that Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan respected each other but didn't like each other. Was that kind of true or not true?
Yep, that's true. I mean, we cover that. We had Coach Ditka interviewed extensively in the film. You know, of course, we couldn't have Coach Ryan on because he passed away, unfortunately. But, yeah, we cover that story extensively. We go into some detail that you haven't heard before. You know, everyone has heard about a couple of the, you know, almost fist fights that they got into. But, yeah, I mean, there's some real animosity there. And we also go into the story of, you know, what happened when Ryan was leaving, when he went to take the Eagles job, and how that played a big part in why the Bears weren't successful after 85 in terms of winning another Super Bowl.
Well, let's talk about that, because usually if you have a team that's that dominant, and they were incredibly dominant, there's going to be some carryover. It's going to be called a dynasty at some point. You're going to win 2, 3, 4 championships. The Bears, one and done. That's kind of the saddest part of the story, isn't it?
It's, you know, the yin and yang of that team is how dominant they were, how incredible they were, how much they touched the city and the whole world, and yet they could have replicated for a number of reasons. They couldn't get back to the Super Bowl, even though they had arguably, you know, better team, you know, in the next couple of years through a series of events that we cover in the film through our interviews. You know, things like, you know, Buddy Ryan, of course, was a big factor in his leaving. Him leaving was a big factor. Several players in our film commented on the fact that they thought that Ditka, you know, got a little bit too maybe big for the team. You know, in 85, he was still sort of a raw coach. Afterwards, with all the publicity, several of the players commented on the fact that they thought that was the reason they couldn't go back, because of the attention that he was getting. Of course, they had injuries. So, yeah, there's a number of reasons that coalesced to make that team one and done.
You mentioned interviews. Now, who will be featured in this documentary from the Bears?
So we've got about 30 different people interviewed in our film, about 15 or 16 of the Bears. So everyone from Jim McMahon, Dan Hampton, Otis Wilson, who's one of our producers, Willie Gault, Matt Sui. So, you know, most of your favorites from the team are interviewed. Then we've also got, you know, interviews with prominent Bears fans. Everyone from, I mentioned Barack Obama, who is incredibly gracious, incredibly touching things he told us about his feelings. We have Rahm Emanuel, Bill Murray, George Wendt, Jeremy Piven, Joe Mantegna. We've got Ike Barinholtz, Rick Callender, so Mike Wilbon. Just an amazing, we think, cross-section of people who still today, you know, are huge fans of that team.
Is this the first time you've ever produced a film or a documentary, Rich?
You know, so on the legal side, I've been involved in entertainment law for a while, and I've represented, you know, several entities. This is the second time I've been involved in a film. I also produced a film, or helped produce a film about the Montreal Expos, which is, as you know, a team near and dear to my heart growing up in Montreal. Yeah, this was the first one that I was the lead producer on. Myself and my producing partner, Scott Preston, who's also our director, were the leads. So, yeah, it was the first one of this scale that we jumped into.
What are you most proud about? I mean, it's a huge undertaking to produce a film or a documentary. When you sit back now that it's completed, what are you most proud of?
You know, I think the fact that we documented a lot of the stories that have been told. You know, when I got started with Otis Wilson, who's you know, a legendary member of that team, also one of our producers, a few years ago, what he told me is that even though there's been a couple of different takes on that team, in his mind, in his eyes, from the player's perspective, you know, they haven't really had a chance to tell their story. As hard as that might seem to some people to believe, you know, there's a lot of people who say, do we need another story? The players felt like they really wanted to memorialize for the final time their story. And honestly, as we know, a lot of the players aren't around anymore, unfortunately. You know, Dave Duerson, Walter Payton. So I think we really capture some touching parts of that team that have been told and that also are now going to be memorialized for all time. That's one thing. And then, you know, obviously getting people like Bill Murray was a huge thrill. Getting
sure.
the president. You know, we're really proud that we were able to attract such a huge and diverse range of talent.
I bet it's harder getting Bill Murray than it is getting the former president, isn't it? It is, isn't it?
It's funny that you say that because, you know, we've talked about, you know, doing sort of a short on getting Bill Murray because it literally was harder to get him than the leader of the free world. Bill Murray, as you probably know, is legendary for his lack of accessibility. You know, he doesn't have a publicist, doesn't have an agent, doesn't have a manager.
You have to leave a message at his machine, right?
Number. Yep, exactly. Yeah. Like I heard those stories forever. Like, you know, I thought it wasn't true, but you literally have to call an answering machine. He may call you back. You know, we literally had about 16 hours notice. He called my director, Scott Preston, texted him and said, I'll be at LAX. I'll be at the Delta Lounge in, like, you know, 7 hours. We have to scramble, get a crew over there. We got him. It was a great interview. He's incredibly gracious, incredibly supportive. But, yeah, it was not easy getting Bill Murray, but what he gave us in the film was incredible stuff.
The film is called 85, The Greatest Team in Football History. It's premiering at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. But how can us regular folks see it, Rich? What do we need to do?
Yeah, everyone could see it. Fathom Events is sponsoring the release of the film on January 29th. It's available in theaters everywhere. It's playing probably in about 30 theaters around Chicago, suburbs, northwest Indiana, and then across the country. It's playing in 260 theaters, I think, of Alaska and across the country. So it's available right now at Fathom Events, their website. It's on Fandango. Anywhere you buy movie tickets, you could purchase tickets for the screening on January 29th.
Do you have to have seen the other Star Wars films to enjoy this one?
You know, this one stands alone.
Stands alone. Good.
Yeah, I think.
Congrats.
The backstory. Yeah.
I love it. All right. Rich Lankoff is our guest. Again, the film is called 85, the greatest team
in
football history. We'll continue this discussion in just a moment. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder, along with our guest Rich Lankoff. Normally when Rich is on, we talk about legal issues. He's the host of the WGN Plus podcast Legal Face-Off, but today he's here in the role of a film producer. He has put together a documentary called 85, The Greatest Team in Football History, which features many of your favorite Chicago Bears, in addition to Bill Murray and Barack Obama and Mayor Emanuel and other people. Would you say, Rich, now I know the team had a lot of heroes, but if you could pick one guy to be the unsung hero of that team, the 85 Bears, the guy that doesn't get the attention he deserves but really played a major role in the team, who would it be?
Wow, you're putting me on the spot with that one. I think one of the candidates is Dennis McKinnon, who's in our film. You know, McKinnon didn't get as much attention as Willie Gault,
yeah.
You know, on the outside. But McKinnon, I think, was a huge contributor to that team. Very underrated part of the offense. I think the offense in general, as I mentioned, was, you know, didn't get as much attention as they should have. But yeah, I think McKinnon is right up there.
Dennis McKinnon.
By the way, if you're interested, as a late guest, I've got our narrator, Matt Walsh, who's a huge fan of your show, standing with me here. Matt Walsh is from Veep. Everyone loves Veep. He's a native.
I was just going to bring him up.
Matt, how are you?
He's right here. He's grabbing an egg sandwich here in the lobby of our hotel.
That's what the stars do, Rich. They eat the egg sandwiches.
You know, they're just like us.
Yes, they are.
If you're interested, let me see if I could grab. If you're interested, I could grab Matt Walsh.
No.
In between bites.
No, forget it.
No. Yeah, put him on. I used to do stand up with Matt.
He said he knew you. All right, I'm gonna put him on here for an impromptu interview. Hang on one second. Let me give you Matt Walsh.
All right.
You're
Hello?
Matt, how are you?
Hey, Matt.
Bill, how are you? Hi, Wendy.
So great to talk to you. It's Matt Walsh, everybody, from Veep and from a thousand other projects. And he is he's running the panel tonight of the documentary 85, The Greatest Team in Football History. First of all, Matt, congrats on all your success. I couldn't be more proud of you.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you.
Love seeing you in everything you do. Second of all, what did this team mean to you? You were growing up in Chicago at the time. What did the 85 Bears mean to you?
I was in college at Northern Illinois, and I just remember the joy of reading every paper every Monday was just filled with great stories about how great this team was. So it was almost like living in the aftermath every week. And then I just remember being in DeKalb, and it was snowing, and we won, and it was just like an excuse to drink more. It was wonderful.
Oh, that was such an exciting night.
Yeah, it was.
With the snow.
And it was just elevated the way that Chicago got all this attention. Like, it just really brought out a lot of pride in the city and unified, like, everyone's interest. It was completely consuming. I think everyone in Illinois was on the bandwagon. It was really fun to see that kind of pride and celebration, you know, all the time. It was amazing.
Matt, do you remember after the Super Bowl win, and the Bears not only won, but they just dominated the game from the first minute to the last minute. They were so strong. But the controversy afterwards was, why didn't the team let Walter Payton score a touchdown? Do you remember that?
I do, and I've, gone into some of the articles around that sort of controversy. And I think the truth is they were keen on him. They had at least two guys shadowing him every play. And I think the Patriots decided that you're not going to beat us with Walter. And I think Dick even says in the documentary that these guys made is that that's his one regret. He didn't realize that it mattered as much to him or whatever. So it's unfortunate. And I guess putting the fridge in for a touchdown. But, I mean, I don't know. I guess it's the reason that it gives us something to talk about, whatever, 30
sure.
years.
Sure. And, if you'll remember, in the fourth quarter, even Ditka scored a touchdown. Remember he put himself in and he scored a touchdown at the end?
I remember the Honey Bears scoring.
They each scored a touchdown.
I don't remember Ditka.
Right.
They
brought Abe Gibron back. Abe Gibron scored a touchdown. It was nuts.
I think it did because mustache got an extra point.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Yeah.
Matt, I want to know if it was difficult working with Steve McMichael's little purse dog during this.
I didn't get to meet the purse dog, but he's a
good
wild card. He's very unpredictable. Have you guys run into him lately?
Yeah. Wendy goes clubbing with him.
Yes.
Yep.
The dog and Steve.
Yeah, with the dog. It's crazy.
Yeah.
They travel in the same circles. And then, Matt, I have to ask you something kind of on the personal side. Veep is one of the best shows on TV, and boy, you've done such a great job. Everybody in the cast is just so strong. I know Julia has had a very difficult year. How are things going there? Is she doing okay?
Good, yeah. Her prognosis remains excellent. She's got the best doctor. She has a tremendous amount of loving family around her, so everything seems to be going well.
That's such good news.
I love it on her Twitter feed where she's flipping off 2017. It's really funny and really great.
Yeah, she's a strong, she's a very strong person.
That's
so
such good news.
Knock on wood, I think everything's going well.
And what do you work at beyond Veep? What do you have coming down the pike? Are you have any projects coming that you like to talk about?
What am I up to? I did this documentary on the 85 Bears. I'm in a Melissa McCarthy movie called Life of the Party that comes out in the spring. I'm going to Sundance with a movie called Futile and Stupid Gesture, which is about the rise of the National Lampoon Comedy Magazine.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really fun. And I'm trying to think what else. I guess those are the things that come to mind. I don't know.
That's quite a bit.
Suffering through three children right now. Very hectic at home.
Three. Wow.
10, 8, and 6, and the 10-year-old is acting like he's 18, which is a little early.
It's a little early for that. Yeah.
Wait till he's 18.
Yeah, a little early for that.
Are they impressed by the fact that they are they loving the fact that they can see their dad on TV or on the big screen almost any day of the year?
I think it shows that they're more impressed. I think they saw him. I did something in Yo Gabba Gabba And if I'm on a sitcom, they can watch. But they've never seen Veep yet. The 10-year-old's ready for that kind of language. But generally, I do a lot of R-rated stuff, so they haven't really seen. But they saw Ghostbusters. They were really. My son Emmett was like, we went to see it, and there was only like 5 people in the theater when we went to see it. And my son Emmett introduced himself to strangers and said, my dad's in this movie. You know?
That's adorable. Funny.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was very sweet.
It was so great talking to you. And please, next time you're in Chicago, absolutely stop by. We'd love to see you, Matt, okay?
I would love to. Yeah, I love hanging out with you guys.
I hope so.
Thanks, Matt.
Are you in the new building?
Not yet. Very soon. And actually, we're going to call you because we're going to need some help moving stuff over.
Yeah, and you got to carve something for the new tenants to find. Like, put something vulgar underneath the table.
Already done. That's already been done. Thank you. Have a great new year, Matt. We appreciate you being here.
You too. Happy New Year, guys.
That's Matt Walsh. Thanks, from Veep. He is in charge of the panel tonight at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. It's the premiere of 85, the greatest team in football history, produced by our friend Rich Linkoff. Rich, are you there still?
I'm still here.
Congrats on getting this project done. I know how hard you've been working on it. I'm so glad to see it finally completed and anxious to see it. And everyone can see it on January 29th. That's when it's available in theaters. Good luck tonight, Rich.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for all your support. You guys have been awesome. And we'll see you back shortly for our regular legal segment.
Can't wait. It's Rich Lankoff, everybody.
We'll need it. Thanks, Rich.
We will definitely need it. A quick break and then more show. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.